Hi everybody, Andrew Gill here, Minister of St Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Black Rock and in Bray. Last Sunday we were able to reopen our buildings for worship. So what we're going to do for these next few weeks is that we're going to record those services live and then put the sermon up during the week on our website. On Sunday we were continuing our sermon series, Hoping for Christmas, looking at those events around and leading up to the very first Christmas from Luke's Gospel. And this Sunday, we were looking at a very important announcement. Just be aware that towards the end of the sermon, we had a little bit of problem with the video, so it'll just cut to what was on the screen, but you'll still be able to hear the sermon. And I hope that it is a blessing to you today. There have been two times during this past year when I have cheered out loud while watching a government leader make an announcement on the television. The first time came at the end of May when Arlene Foster announced that the ban on marriages was going to be lifted, which meant that after 7 weeks of delay, myself and Julie would be able to get married. I heard the announcement and I cheered out loud. The second time came last Friday when Micheál Martin announced that churches could reopen again. Both of these announcements came after a long wait. They were national announcements, but yet had deeply personal implications. They came after times of separation, times of uncertainty, times of difficulty. And when I heard those announcements, I had a sudden relief. The future became clearer, and that kind of waiting, that kind of anguish, turned into excitement. We're doing a series at church over these coming weeks called Hoping for Christmas, and we're looking at the Christmas story in Luke chapters 1 and 2 with the desire that it will give us some much needed hope. And today, as we've just read, we're looking at an announcement. And this week, as I was reading about this announcement of what the angel said to Mary, and as I was thinking and reflected on it, I started to get that same kind of feeling I had with those other announcements. I started to have a sense of peace, started to have a sense of joy. I started to experience what the Carol O Holy Night describes as the thrill of hope. Last week in our online service, we were looking at the story of when the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah and told him that he and Elizabeth would have a child. And this story takes place 6 months later. And the angel is moved from the temple in Jerusalem out to kind of a rural town in the north of the country called Nazareth. And this story focuses on a young woman, a virgin engaged to a man called Joseph, who was a far descendant of King David. But they lived a very humble and simple life. And we learn that the virgin's name is Mary. And the angel Gabriel is sent by God to give her an announcement. And when Mary sees the angel and hears his greeting, she's confused. She's even a little bit troubled by it. Why would an angel come to her? She was a nobody from nowhere. Why on earth would the angel call her highly favored? To her, it made no sense. But this is how the angel replies in verses 30 to 33. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." That's a lot of information to get. Being told you're going to have a baby is one thing. Never mind, he is going to become this great king. But this announcement, like the one last week, was not just a personal announcement, it also had national implications.
And so to really understand what's going on in these verses, we need to back up a little bit and look at the bigger story. See, the Bible is not just a collection of individual, unrelated stories. The Bible tells one big story about God and his love for people. In the beginning, we see that God, the Creator King, made the world, and he put people to rule over this world under his authority. But people rejected the rule of God, and they tried to set themselves up as their own king. And so you have humanity rebelling against God and fighting with each other, and everyone trying to run their life their own ways, which makes a mess of our world and our communities and our relationships. But into that mess, God promised to send a king who would restore all things. And as you read through the rest of the Bible, you're waiting for that day for the king to come. And then along comes somebody called David, who is made king. He is described as a man after God's own heart, and he installs this kingdom of justice and of peace. But yet even he cannot be the king because he still sins and falls short like everybody else. But God does make a promise to him that somebody from his line will be an eternal king and will reign from ever. But from that point in Israel's history, things just go from bad to worse. And when we enter into Luke's gospel, things are at an all-time low. The once great kingdom of Israel is broken up and ruled by a foreign emperor. And for 400 years, God has been silent. They were waiting. They were longing. They had hundreds of years of asking themselves, when will life go back to normal? Maybe for us this Advent, we can understand the backdrop to these Christmas stories. Maybe we can understand the national mood of how people were feeling that little bit more. The Bible is full of promises and prophecies about the coming king. There are psalms of lament and longing saying, God, how much more are we going to have to wait for him to arrive? But then we have this announcement from heaven that the king is coming. And we are told his name. We now know the name of this coming king. The heir that was promised to King David, his name is Jesus. The son born to a virgin that was prophesied by Isaiah, his name is Jesus. The descendant that was promised to Abraham that would be a blessing to the whole world, his name is Jesus. The child that was promised to Eve that would crush the serpent's head, his name is Jesus. But Mary hears this and she's confused and she asks, how is this possible? How am I going to have a child as a virgin? This is not doubting like Zechariah doubted last week. She believes, she just doesn't understand. But the angel explains that this conception will not happen in a natural way, but in a supernatural way. Because she will conceive and become pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. This king will be different. Because this king will come from heaven. In verse 35, the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. This child will be the Son of God. He will be the eternal Word made flesh. This is the Creator stepping down into creation. And this is where this announcement relates to us. Because it's not just a personal announcement about the birth of a baby. It's not just a national announcement about the birth of a king. This is a universal announcement about the birth of the Savior of the world. We come to church this morning and we're waiting. We're longing for life to be different. We come tired, needing to be refreshed. But our problem is not the coronavirus. Of course, we give thanks that a vaccine is on the way, but it's not the ultimate answer. Let's not pretend that our lives were perfect in February before all this began. Our problem is deeper than this virus. It has just emphasized our real needs and made us feel the effects more keenly. But there is one who can still your fears. His name is Jesus. There is one who can comfort you in your grief. His name is Jesus. There is one who will always love and accept you. His name is Jesus. There is one who can give meaning and purpose to your life. His name is Jesus. There is one who can break your addictions, heal your relationships, lift your financial burdens. His name is Jesus. There is one and only one who can forgive your sins and bring you into his eternal kingdom, where there is no more death, sickness, sadness, pain of any kind. His name is Jesus. Nothing is impossible with God. You know, I counted it up during the week, and we have been out of church for half of this year. I've always loved church, but sometimes you need something to be taken away from you to realize just how precious it is. And it's a little bit heartbreaking this morning that our return can't be marked with singing and hugging as it should be. But I'm aware just how great this opportunity is today, to be able to stand and speak to you face to face and no longer through a screen. And so let me just finish by saying these three things very clearly. There is a God who loves you. His name is Jesus. There is a God who can flood your heart with hope and excitement for the future. His name is Jesus. There is a God that you can trust fully and wholly for your life and even your death. His name is Jesus. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your love and power. We are sorry that we have rejected your rule over our lives. Thank you that you sent your Son to us to be our Savior through his death on the cross. Thank you that in his resurrection, he shows us that nothing is impossible for you, and he gives us the promise of eternal life. King Jesus, come into our lives through your Spirit. Help us to live according to your word and fill us with your hope. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this audio sermon. For more resources, please visit our website, www.standrewschurchathome.com.